hope everyone's doing good this morning. So whenever on Friday, David texted us and he was like, hey, I'm sick. Am I going to be there on Sunday? Can someone preach? And I was like, oh, okay, David. I'll go for it, whatever. So we were at camp all week, as most of y'all know, hopefully. So I'm not saying I'm copying what we did at camp, but I'm summarizing what we did at camp so you all get to experience what we experienced at camp this week. So it'll be super awesome. So the verses, like our main verses this week at camp were Romans 12, 1 through 2. So we're going to look at a bit of that, and then we're going to look at a few other little passages if you want to turn in your Bibles to Romans 12. But the whole point of this week, what our goal was to learn what exactly is worship. Because, you know, so every Sunday morning we have like our time of worship, and it's singing songs and it's praising the Lord with our voices, with songs and stuff, and that's great. But worship isn't just songs. It isn't just standing in the pew singing. I mean, it is partially that, which is great, but it's also so much more than that, which we learned about this week. So if y'all will turn with me to Romans 12, I'm going to read verses 1 and then 2. And I'm going to start right here. I'm reading out of the ESV. It's also what's in your, like, underneath the chairs. If you need a Bible, go for it. You can take it also. We have a whole bunch of extra. All right. Starting in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. All right. So if we look at this, we can see that like our act of worship isn't just singing, it isn't just standing in the pews, isn't just offering like praises with our voices. It's just it's us being a living sacrifice, which is like a really confusing thing. We talk about this a lot at camp. Living sacrifice is kind of it's like an oxymoron. Like you think sacrifice, those are all like Old Testament sacrifices. They were a dead animal. So you put on the on the altar and you would kill the animal. And so it was a dead sacrifice. But then us, we're a living sacrifice because whenever we accept that gift of Jesus, that the eternal life, we can't be dead because we're eternal life. So we're living, we're a breathing sacrifice that we place ourselves on the altar, right? And then we are able to give ourselves up to God. We're able to be obedient to Him, and that's our sacrifice. So, our working definition this week of what worship is we design worship as loving obedience. So whenever we're obedient to the Lord, we're offering ourselves up to Him, and we're giving Him control of ourselves. We're saying, God, I'm going to ignore what I want, what I desire, what I wish to do, and I'm going to give all that to you, and I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to do that. But there's this crazy thing about obedience is that sometimes we're not exactly excited about it. Like I know for myself, sometimes someone tells me to do something, and part of me, like I'm going to do it because I know I'm supposed to, but I'm not going to be excited about it. I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm just going to do it because I'm supposed to. Which, I mean, isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like, yes, we need to be obedient first and foremost. But the true like act of worship isn't just being obedient, but it's obedience with excitement and with love and with joy. Because if you're just up there, you're just sitting in the pew and you're just kind of like mouthing along the words, half-heartedly singing, like, do we really consider that worship? Kind of, but also not. So worship is loving obedience, it's excited obedience, it's like joyful obedience. So whenever we offer our bodies up as a living sacrifice, we're giving ourselves to God. We're saying that He has control over our lives and that we're willing to obey Him, which is really cool. So in this Romans 12:1, I get really excited about Greek. If you talk to me for too long about some verse, I'll end up in Greek at some point. It's a super cool word here that Paul uses for holy and acceptable to God. It's hard to translate all the way, but our English word that we use is logical. So that's where we get the word logical from, this Greek word. But this word, it kind of means like a reasonable, divine logic. Like it doesn't exactly make sense to us, but it makes sense to God. So it's like above us. It's above our kind of understanding. So our worship, we don't even have to completely like understand what we're doing. We don't have to get like why we're doing it. Like we just know we're being lovingly obedient to God, and that is our worship. We don't have to get it because God understands it. And he has a plan and he has a design that is above our understanding. And that's why it works. And it's a super cool word. If you want any other words, ask me after the service. And I have a whole list of them in my brain that I think are awesome. But if we're going to call worship loving obedience, we have to decide, like, what are we to be obedient to? What are these things? What are these ways that we can worship? So I just come up here and say, worship is more than just singing. And then I just let you go. You don't really know what to do with that. That wouldn't be a very good job on my part. So we're going to go over a few things of what actually is worship. What are we to be lovingly obedient to? And the first one, which I think is super cool, Rusty likes this verse a lot. We're going to go to John 6, and I'm going to put this down because I don't want to drop the microphone. That's it. So John 6, we're going to look first and foremost at verse 29, but we're going to give a little context as I flip there. So John 6, if you look in your subheading, some of the translations say, I am the bread of life. So it's right after Jesus fed the 5,000 and after he walked on water and all that super awesome stuff that Jesus does. And so they found Jesus on the other side of the sea, and then I'm just going to read this. It says, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? So he asked, what do we need to do to obey the works of God? Like, how can we be honoring God with our actions? And then Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So essentially, Jesus is telling us that one of the ways that we can be obedient to God, that we can be worshiping him, is just simply by believing in Jesus. Like that moment of salvation, that moment when we put our faith, our hope, our trust, all these things in Jesus, that's like our first act of like worship. That's like our first time of being like, God, you're greater than us. You're greater than me. You know everything I've done. And God, you still love me. And all these like confessions and all this belief at that moment of salvation is like our first act of it's our first act of obedience, of true obedience, the first act of love, and our first act of worship, which is super cool that Jesus gives us this opportunity essentially to worship in such like a new way. This one I got really excited about. Rusty gets really excited about this verse because if you ask him, what's the work of God? He always quotes it. That the work of God is to believe in Jesus, basically. I mean, if anyone's ever confused about, like, what do I need to do with my life? First and foremost, believe in Jesus. And then there are a few other things. And as you believe in Jesus and you get closer to Jesus, you know more about what you need to do. Think of, like, jobs, college, like marriage, that kind of thing. Like, big moments, believing in Jesus is the first step to actually understanding what the will of God and what, like, you're supposed to be doing with your life. Super awesome verse. All right. And the next one, we worship through service. So if you look, and we're going to go to Mark 10, if you want to start flipping there, which I'm also going to start doing. But Mark 10, we're going to be in 45, but this is right after James and John, you know, they're the sons of thunder. They come up to Jesus, and they're like, Jesus, what can we do to sit at your right and your left? And Jesus, I feel like, whenever I like look at this story and I think about it in my head, I feel like Jesus kind of like looks at them and just is like, what are y'all talking about? No. It's been 10 chapters. Oh, no. It's been 10 chapters. You're supposed to understand that is not what you're supposed to ask me. But they had this whole conversation and Jesus is like, no, you don't know what you're asking about. Whoever must be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be the first among you must be the slave of all. And then in verse 44, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we see another thing where Jesus says, for even. We talked a lot about this week about how to read the Bible for yourself. There's like a whole little breakout session. And one of the big points of it was look at like important words and important introductory phrases. So when Jesus says in this 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, it's kind of like a little nod to us, like, hey, if even Jesus did it, that's a pretty good indication that we need to be doing that same thing. Because if Jesus says it like that, that means we really need to be listening. So if we look that Jesus served, we should be serving. We get a command where we should be serving others. So our loving obedience is to be serving excitedly and not just like resigned to like, oh, I guess I'll serve you because it's what someone told me to do. This is like my job. That's not loving obedience. That's just obedience. So whenever we think about how to worship through serving, it's a lot of, I mean, we see Jesus whenever he washed the disciples' feet in our three questions. Like Jesus didn't get down there and like huff and puff and like, okay, I'm going to wash your feet, but I don't really want to. Like Jesus got down there and he was excited and he was ready to serve his disciples because he loved them. And he knew that that would bring honor and glory to God through that action and through modeling it for us. So whenever we think about how we are to serve others and how we can worship through service, it can't be of like a, this is gross, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. It's got to be a, I want to do this. I want to do this for my fellow believer, for my fellow person on this earth. I want to love them through serving them. So whether that be like opening the door for people at church or at the restaurant or anywhere or being like friendly, we like to do this thing during camp where we try to learn as many people's names as we can, whether it be like employees. We're at Howard Payne this week. So if that's Howard Payne employees or the people in the cafeteria, people that are taking care of like the grounds all around campus or the people that are the custodians, like we try to learn people's names. We like to do this thing on Wednesdays. We go to Burger King, Rusty and I, and a lot of the youth ministry people. We go to Burger King and we meet people there. So we have this one, lady, her name is Karen, and we've been going for about 2 years. And in these 2 years, we've gotten to know Karen. She's gotten to know us. She was even at the wedding 2 weeks ago. If you were here, the lady in the back right there, who was really loud, that was Karen. She's hilarious, but we built a relationship with her just by loving on her and serving her. Even if she's serving us like food and stuff at Burger King, we're serving her just by being friendly and caring and getting to know her. And in that moment, I mean, that's worship through serving her. We're worshiping God because we're being lovingly obedient. We're being excited. We're getting to know her and all these things. So, I mean, we talk about worship as a singing song, but it's so much more than that. It's so much more exciting than that. I think we kind of diminish the joy of worship whenever we just talk about singing songs on Sunday morning. If we look at it as believing, as serving, and then as the next point, if we look at it as these things, we get to have so much more just excitement about God and so much more ability to love him well. So it's super awesome. And then another one. So we can worship through sharing. We go, if we look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission, we all know it. We all love it. Jesus commands his disciples to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, all that stuff, and then teaching them all that I have commanded you to do. So Jesus gives us a couple more commands that we're supposed to be obedient to. Go, make disciples, and teach. So that's another three ways that we're able to worship God excitedly and through loving obedience. So we can go. Whenever we're going and we're serving and we're sharing about our faith and what we love, we're able to worship. If you look in Psalm 78:4, it's that verse about a joyful noise, which we always use for like worship through like songs, which is like, hey, you don't have to sing pretty. You just have to sing loud and sing excited and sing like you want, sing like you're worshiping the Lord. But that's also, make a joyful noise comes back to sharing your faith. You can't just talk about Jesus, the guy who saved you and you have this great relationship with and you love so much. You can't talk about Jesus in like a monotone, like really boring voice, because it's not who Jesus is. Jesus isn't boring. Jesus isn't monotone. Jesus isn't any of these like things. Like we think like we get Zach over there. If I ask Zach like how much he likes the Cowboys, you can see him nodding and smiling right now. Zach is super excited about the Cowboys because Zach loves the Cowboys and he thinks they're the greatest football team. They're kind of the greatest football team. But we think about what we're excited about and what we love and all these things. And if you ask about like a movie or you're telling a friend like, hey, I just watched a super awesome movie. You should check it out. It's not like we're excited about that. Like we're not going to go up to our friend and be like, hey, I watched this movie on Saturday. It was fun. You should watch it. Like no one talks to their friend about a movie like that. They're always excited. They're telling them about, I mean, a super awesome movie. And whenever we talk about Jesus, we should be excited about Jesus as much as we're excited about a movie. So when you think of a joyful noise, I mean, just talk about Jesus joyfully, like he saved your life or something crazy. So whenever we're able to worship through sharing, that's another awesome thing. Yeah, and then so teaching. So I feel like teaching people get confused about, because teaching isn't just like teaching. Like right now I'm teaching y'all, but y'all already know all these things. I'm just kind of explaining it in a different way. I'm just explaining it how I understand things. So, I mean, teaching isn't just like when Jesus says go and teach them all the things I've commanded you. It's just kind of like explain the things that you know to them in a way that they can understand. So like on Sunday mornings, over in the youth house, this morning with Bauer and Bethany, we talked about James and we looked at some of the verses in James, and we were able to teach each other, because not like I'm the one that teaches everything, because they're smart and they can hear from the Lord just as much as I can. They're able to teach me and then teach each other and teach everyone there about James, because as they read, as they digest, and as they talk about it, they're worshiping God through that explanation and that excitement. I mean, they're excited about it. Excited about what they're learning, excited about what they're explaining. And that's how we see God honored and see Him glorified in that. As we discuss and as we teach and as we share, we get to worship the Lord. So this week was what is worship? I thought it was a great week. You can ask Victoria, but she's not here. She has to work this morning because she got a whole week off for camp. Sonic was like, no, you have to work on Sunday. It was kind of sad, but she got to come to camp, so that was good. But worship is so much more than just singing. It's so much more than standing on a Sunday morning and worshiping. It's our first moment of like real excited worship was that point of salvation, that point of believing in Jesus, that point of trusting in Jesus and putting our faith and our hope and all of that in Jesus. That was our first true act of worship. And just because we have to. On a, this morning, if you're not, like if you haven't experienced that joy and that, just that joy is the best word for it. That joy of getting to put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. Come talk to either me or Rusty or Patty. I mean, really any of us in here, after the service. And we'd love to share that about you. We're also going to have a little invitation time where we're going to sing a song and think and digest and reflect. You can talk to someone during that time too. But yeah, if you haven't experienced that, I would encourage you to, because it's super awesome. And the second thing, the second best way of worshiping, I mean, in my opinion, is service, by serving others, by loving people, by getting to just put yourself in a position of humility and just love on people. It's such an awesome way of worshiping. And the last point is that we get to worship through sharing, sharing about our faith, sharing about what Jesus has done in our lives. It's not just like a big like gospel strategy, like Roman road or anything. Those are great. But the best way of sharing, the best way of sharing about our faith is simply just, in my opinion, is sharing about what we've seen Jesus do, and what we've heard of Jesus, what we've heard of his teachings, that kind of thing. Remember last time I was up here, we talked about Acts 4:20. We cannot but speak what we've seen and heard. And I mean, in my opinion, I'm always going to say that's one of the greatest gospel presentations, is just what you've seen and what you've heard. Just your life. That's the greatest gospel presentation you can use. So as we go into this week, as we leave this place, just don't forget that worship isn't just what we do here on Sunday mornings. It's what we do whenever we're at Burger King or we're at Berkshire's or we're at United or anywhere, and we're serving and we're sharing and we're loving on people. That's the time when I feel like we worship the most. It's not just here on Sunday morning. So I'm going to invite the band back up here to sing a song, and we can worship through our voices, but you can also worship any other way. If you have any questions, concerns, if you want to talk to Rusty, Patty, or I, we'll be interspersed. Rusty's back there and Patty's right there, and I'll be over on this side.